This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Weekends were made for sports.
Now do the robot voice. I want to hear it again.
Meet more, sir. Robot.
That's a terrible robot voice.
A look at the weekend in sports with the inside story on the Blazers, the Ducks, and the Beavers.
Everyone, meet freelance alien bounty hunter, Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp? The football guy?
Yeah, I hunt aliens now. Used to catch TDs, now I catch ETs.
You ever caught an alien, Shannon?
Not yet, Mr. Question, but I'll let you know when I do.
This is Sports Sunday with Mike Lynch.
Where are the turtles?
Come on, guys, get out of here.
Where are the turtles?
And Rashad Taylor.
Nobody calls me Lebowski. You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
On 1080 The Fan.
Hour 2 of 2 here on Sports Sunday. Mike, Rashad, Joe with you here until 11 o'clock. We'll have Hated or Love It coming up at 10:30.
DJ Fishsticks does weddings.
Yes, he does.
shut the hell up.
Ah, you had to catch yourself on that one.
Yeah.
You want to share what you said at your wedding yesterday to a person?
Let's just say I had a great time. The bride and groom, they were wonderful. Let's just say some things happened that made me not very enthused about wanting to do weddings in the future.
Bride and grooms are usually the cool ones at the wedding. They're it's a big party for them.
Right.
They're chilling. Everybody's buying them drinks. If, you know, if it's not an open bar, whatever the case is, like, they're usually chilling. It's always other people around that tend to make it a little more difficult for some of the wedding goers.
Well, so the day started by me pulling into the venue, and I just pulled off to the side of, like, the parking lot in front of the main entrance so that way I could walk in, see where I need to put my stuff, and then go back out, get my car, and move it to where I need to. That took maybe 3 to 4 minutes. Within that time frame, someone backed up into my car and just ripped some of the paint and dented my hood and one of my fenders and my bumper. So I was like, oh, we're off to a great start right away here. And then we had basically a bridesmaid situation, like the movie, where someone was chosen as the maid of honor and one of the other bridesmaids was not. So she had to definitely make it known how helpful and how good of a friend she was and how much she knew and in control. And it
did she
was,
make a speech?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. And by the end of the night, let's just say.
Oh, she was one of those extra speeches that came up?
No, she had a plan.
Oh.
But
she had a plan because she wasn't the maid of honor.
Yeah, planned to be last. Yeah, I think she wanted to be last. But anyways, it was by the end of the night, I was done with her. I was fed up. She kept coming up to the table trying to tell me what was happening, schedule, and I eventually kind of snapped on her. I was like, go get someone else to come tell me things. She's like, well, like who? I was like, anybody.
Anyone,
else.
Any other person.
Literally
here.
Anybody else.
See that 2-year-old? I'll talk to them from now on. Go
like,
get them.
Yeah, it was, and then at the end of the night, a child got injured. It was just complete mayhem. Like, it was just like, I'm good. I'm good for a while. Let's just say I'm glad wedding season's come to an end.
Oh, man. There's so much fun, though, when that person gets up there and they're so drunk and they start doing a, I'd like to propose a post to everyone here. Yeah, celebrating, and then they start giving up information they shouldn't have. Remember that time in Mexico with those 3 guys? Like, whoa, what are you doing? Be quiet.
Shut the hell up.
Yeah, be quiet.
All right, well, let's get into our divisional previews. We will begin
with the AFC North in the NFL. Would you like to start with the Browns since we've been talking about them?
We might as well.
Okay.
We can start there. Low-hanging fruit.
So the Browns will likely have Jacoby Brissett as their starting quarterback for at least half, if not more than half of the year, as we wait for the Deshaun Watson verdict to come down the second time here after the appeals process is done. The Browns have a really, really, really good roster. The Browns have a playoff roster. I don't know if I would say Super Bowl roster, but some people have said that. But yeah, you know, I kind of just view it as a really solid team. But if you've got Jacoby Brissett as your quarterback this year because of the Deshaun Watson situation, then I'm afraid there's not much that you can do outside of go 7-10 if he's your quarterback this year, maybe 8-9, you know, 17 game year. I'm remembering to go over the 17 games. I just, without having a consistent, solid quarterback, bringing in Amari Cooper is great. Having two great running backs and Chubb and Kareem Hunt is fantastic. Having a really solid defense, obviously, it will be helpful. You're just not going to win that many games with Jacoby Brissett as your quarterback. And so, for that, I'll say they'll be a middling team this year.
Yeah, you're not going to win games with Jacoby Brissett, but he's not going to lose you
exactly
a whole lot of them either.
He's solid backup.
Yeah, he's a solid backup, and this is what you have backups for situations like this. I mean, not situations like this, but if your quarterback is going to be on the shelf for an extended period of time, you want to have somebody that you're able to put in the game, and they can go, you know, 3-3 over six games, somewhere around there. Remember, Jacoby Brissett stepped in when Tom Brady was dealing with his four-game suspension for Deflategate, right? So two of those games went to Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo got hurt at one of those points.
Then
Jacoby Brissett was able to come in and win a game for the Patriots during that run. Now, mind you, during that run, if they don't win three of those four games, then the playoff seeding is a little bit different, and maybe New England doesn't go on to I think they do, but maybe there's a chance they don't go on to make the run that they have and end up winning the Super Bowl that year. So Jacoby Brissett, even for a bit, there are certain points of the season for the Colts last year where he was like, not last year, but the year prior, correct? With the Colts.
Yes.
Last year. Yeah, okay. That, you know, okay.
He was with Miami last year. Colts two years ago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a couple years ago for the Colts. But so I don't think he's going to lose you a game. I think you're as good as the talent around you, and I still think that Cleveland has a bunch of talent around them. Now, they've lost some pieces, yes. However, they did inherit an Amari Cooper. You know, they did keep David Njoku, so they've got some weapons for him to throw to. They're still trying to – you mentioned Kareem Hunt.
Yep.
Mentioned how that looks. May or may not be traded. I don't think you give up Kareem Hunt at this point, you know, to –
Well, they told him no.
Yeah, so I don't think they make that. And so how unhappy will he be at this point? So there are some things up in the air. If Baker Mayfield was your quarterback, I think Jacoby could be your quarterback for 6 weeks. Baker Mayfield was your guy for three mm-hmm. or 4 years.
Yeah.
I think you can manage six games with Jacoby Brissett. That's just me.
Yeah, but it's going to be more than that.
No, it's more than likely it's going to be more than that.
And look, their offensive line's fantastic. So hopefully health, you know, obviously being very important, that can keep Jacoby Brissett upright and keep him from getting hurt. Because if he gets injured, then you're going down a bad road.
And so they re-signed Hubbard. You know, they re-signed their center, Ethan.
You mean the offensive lineman?
Yes, sorry. Excuse me. Yeah, so they tried to make sure that they can keep their quarterback upright, at least for now. So can Jacoby Brissett get the ball out of his hands fast enough to Amari Cooper and to Jakeem Grant, who I think they kind of expect some big things from with the – you know, with the departure.
Well, they have Donovan Peoples-Jones, too.
Yeah, Peoples-Jones. But, you know, with Jarvis Landry and Rashard Higgins, you know, being gone, Austin Hooper as well, you know, with those guys being gone now, there's going to be some opportunities for someone else to make plays. And so you just hope that Jacoby can get you the ball. We've seen that he's good enough to do things at points. So I think for 6 to 8 weeks, he should be fine. Unless the NFL says, no, the suspension is good, and he's only going to be suspended for six games, and Deshaun Watson. But we think that he'll be suspended for much longer.
If Deshaun Watson comes back after six games, this is a completely different story.
Yeah.
You know, football player wise, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the league before this happened. And I suppose that could have changed over the last 2 years. Maybe a little rust and a little out of practice means not as good, but just purely in a football perspective, if he comes back at all this year, that is fantastic for them football wise. The other team in this division that is kind of floundering, although they are a good franchise, is the Steelers. Steelers going into the year with three quarterback options. You have Mitch Trubisky, you have Mason Rudolph, and you drafted Kenny Pickett with your first round pick this year out of Pitt. The reports out of camp, not very good early on for Kenny Pickett. There were worries about his ability to hold on to the football because he has smaller hands and all that. But I guess there's even more issues going on with just his accuracy at camp. So he currently is the third string quarterback, and Mitch Trubisky would be the starter for the Steelers. I like this team. I think it's well built. Again, this is very similar to the Browns, and this is it's kind of a cop-out answer, but to me it's the only way to really judge these teams. Is the Steelers are good. Mike Tomlin is good. Their quarterbacks are bad. Last year, your quarterback was Ben Roethlisberger, who was either hurt or usually pretty ineffective.
Or just
ineffective.
Old. Yeah.
Old. And the Steelers were okay, right? They were totally just an average team last year. So this year, I kind of expect something similar, but a little bit worse because your quarterback is Mitch Trubisky. And it feels like kind of a, it's going to be a quick reset year for the Steelers. You still have tons of talent on the team. You still have one of the best defensive players, if not the single best defensive player in TJ Watt on your defense. You have really good young running back who was a workhorse guy for you last year in Najee Harris. You kind of built a new Pittsburgh-style tight end in Freiermuth last year who turned out to be pretty good. You finally gave Deontay Johnson the money he was looking for, so he's signed to a somewhat longer-term deal, 2 years for him. Another year, Chase Claypool. I think the offensive line's got some issues there for sure, which is going to be a problem with some iffy quarterback play. And you got a really solid defense. You got one of the better cornerback safeties, too, in Minkah Fitzpatrick, who came over and dominated after he was traded there last year. So there's lots to like about Pittsburgh. I just kind of view them right now as the default last place team in the division because it's Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, and I think
too little respect to Trubisky?
I mean, it's tough to say. I don't think so. I think it's right around where we should be because Mitchell Trubisky still hasn't showed us anything at this point as far as him being a viable NFL quarterback. He's looking more like an NFL backup, which is still a really cool job to have, you know. So I would love to be an NFL backup, but I mean, I don't know. I think there might be a few more holes than you think for the Steelers. It's a team that went 9-7-1, and Big Ben Roethlisberger was their quarterback, legendary quarterback, also someone who also dealt with some things that, you know, along the lines of Deshaun Watson and kind of have to deal with some of those things and during his playing days. But, man, like being able to pull in a Miles Jack all of a sudden on your defense and obviously, you know, extending Minkah Fitzpatrick. You just mentioned TJ Watt, you know, who is arguably, I don't know if it's arguable, like he's the best defender in football, you know, right now. And so you've got a great team around you. You've got what I consider a top three coach in the NFL and Mike Tomlin, a guy that when we talk about the best coaches in football, we almost never talk about Mike Tomlin. His name almost never comes up. We say Andy Reid.
I think we consider Mike Tomlin.
I mean, I think we consider him, but when we really start talking about who the best guys are, a lot of times it's like, oh, yeah, and Mike Tomlin. Oh, I forgot about Tomlin. Yes, he's on the list. But when we start talking about the best coaches initially, his name doesn't come up first, second, or even third in a lot of ways. And I think it should because I think he's a hell of a coach. You know, I think one of the things for Pittsburgh that we talked a little about is the loss of Juju Smith-Schuster. How does that look for them? You know, now that you don't really have a quarterback or you're not sure where to go with the quarterback, and you did draft a couple rookies, you know, George Pickens from Georgia and the Austin kid from, what was he, Memphis? Where'd he go?
I don't know.
Calvin Austin III? Yeah, Memphis is where he went. So you were able to go out there and draft some guys. Remember, you got Najee Harris, who was a big feather in the cap for you, you know, last season. So you've got some good parts out there, but not having a great offensive line and a young quarterback potentially, you know, things move so fast in the NFL. That's the one thing we hear, you know, young players say is like things move so fast. So imagine how much faster they will move if your offensive line can't hold anybody. And so that's kind of my my fear for Pittsburgh is that it could be potentially be a bloodbath if that offensive line can't figure out a way to protect either Rudolph or Kenny Pickett. Let's or Trubisky.
I think it's going to be Trubisky. And there was some talk this offseason about how Trubisky gets a bad rap and that he's actually better than people think he is, in part because when he left Chicago, went to Buffalo to be the backup, he kind of learned a little bit how to be a better quarterback. And you've kind of heard similar things said about Justin Fields in Chicago this year, that he's really just not being set up to succeed because the Bears are such a bad franchise at the moment and are really poorly built, that maybe Trubisky is better than we gave him credit for because of how he played in Chicago. Actually, if you look at his stats, it's way better than you would even imagine for Trubisky. So maybe there's a little bit of hope there, and maybe, especially if Watson is out all year, that means Pittsburgh doesn't finish last in the division. But still, lots of questions to be answered there with the future of that quarterback position. The two better teams in the division, last year's Super Bowl runner-up, the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens. We will chat about them next as we begin today our NFL divisional previews in the AFC North. This is Sports Sunday on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I saw the light, I've been baptized by the fire in your touch and the flame in your eyes. I'm born to love again, I'm a brand new man.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Talking about the line I'm walking that leads right to your door.
I'm a little bit surprised, but I've been kind of sucked into the track and field we put on the TV. I'm not a big track and field guy normally.
Told you.
Dang it. I thought you were going to say the country music.
Never in my life will I ever say that. I can guarantee you that. No, we've been watching the under 20 championships. And
wow.
They're just doing some relay races. And
the under 20 track and field championships?
What did you want to spin on, Joe? There was nothing on, man.
It's going though right now.
I was kind of sucked in because some of the runners look like they're putting in as much effort as is humanly possible, and others look like they're doing nothing, and yet they're running way faster. They're just like la da 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 da, like they're singing in their head, jogging. Yeah, the guy who just finished in first, it looks like he's barely trying, and then other guys are like, I'm sprinting.
Yeah, man, I couldn't do it.
No, the U.S. one, not Yemen.
I couldn't do it, man. I huff and puff a lot while running. Some of these guys, they just like look so effortless.
Oh, it was South Africa. That was the country I was looking at. South Africa. How about that?
Good job, Lynch.
I figured it out. All right, let's finish the AFC North here. We'll go with the Ravens first. We'll save the best for last, potentially the best for last in the Bengals. But Lamar Jackson coming back. He's got the contract issue stuff going on, which will certainly be over his head as he wants to get paid. And there's questions about how much of a contract he will get based on his abilities as a thrower versus a runner. But the Ravens, with health, hopefully, should be a much more scary team to play each week. Remember last year before the season started, they lost all of their running backs immediately. J.K. Dobbins out for the year, Gus Edwards out for the year, and they had to go for... You know, they went with like a running back by committee of third stringers,
right,
essentially for the whole year. Well, Dobbins was supposed to be the breakout star of the NFL last year as a running back and couldn't do it. So he's back, will be the starter with Lamar Jackson. They lose Hollywood Brown, and they actually made almost no moves to improve the wide receiver core. They drafted a lot of wide receivers, but they didn't sign anybody to replace Hollywood Brown, who was their true number one, which means right now Rashad Bateman is their true number one. Remember, he was their first-round pick a year ago. He was hurt to start his rookie year, so he didn't play for most of last season. They are very high on Rashad Bateman this year as their number one wide receiver, and maybe even better than Hollywood Brown was for them as long as Lamar can get him the ball. Remember, Bateman was the Minnesota wide receiver who was absolutely amazing a couple of years ago and was talked about as one of the best wide receivers in the draft. So I could certainly see that being a possibility for them. What you know about Baltimore is their defense will always be better than you think and annoying to play. They brought in Kyle Fuller at cornerback. He had been playing for Denver and not playing that much because of injury and ineffectiveness. He formerly was one of the best corners with the Bears, if you remember, and maybe can find shades of that again. And yeah, the Ravens are just a solid, good team. I love John Harbaugh as the head coach. I think they're potentially a playoff wildcard team this year. 10-11 wins makes sense.
Yeah, that sounds
good. Lamar Jackson, you're certainly going to win a lot of games.
That sounds about right. And the talks for Lamar Jackson have gone from like kind of uneasy to just awkward now. Like, I don't know if there's a more disrespected quarterback in all of football than Lamar Jackson. A dude who just won the MVP, what, 3 seasons ago? And looked amazing while doing it. Like, the comparison that Lamar Jackson was getting was Michael Vick with the better arm. Do we remember how good Michael Vick was playing football?
He was good.
And then when he could actually throw, like, oh my God, Michael Vick might have been the best player in football for a couple years. He was that guy.
And then he went to jail.
And then that happened. Lamar Jackson has been disrespected since the day he decided to go pro. Oh man, he's not going to be a functional NFL quarterback. Remember that? They need to make him a receiver. They need to make him a corner. They need to make him a what? And then 2 years later, he wins the MVP as a quarterback. To my knowledge, obviously, Flacco never won MVP, right? Trent Dilfer never won MVP. I know Ray Lewis never won MVP. He got some defensive player of the years, though, but never won the MVP. He's the only person in your franchise to walk away with that award. You need to do everything you can to lock down Lamar Jackson. You have a weapon that maybe only two other teams in the league have. A guy like Mahomes, a guy like, you can put Kyler Murray into that, you know, category, somebody that's special with his arms and special with his legs.
I wouldn't put Mahomes in that category.
I'm probably not, but Mahomes, just because he's just so crafty and there are little things he can do, but not as fast, not anything, but still some trickery there with Mahomes.
I was just looking at Lamar's like contract and just double checking. This is the last year he's an unrestricted free agent. And as I'm coming up with stuff for Hate It or Love It, I was trying to think of any way that I could convince myself to write something like, Hate it or love it, Lamar Jackson will not be a Raven next year, or will not get a new contract. And I just can't see it happening because of what you said, Rashad, is the dude was an MVP. I remember last year, a game against the Colts, him just dicing them up on a Monday night, led them from behind, and he went like through like 35 for 43 for 400-something yards. And again, that is one game, but that was a game to me that showed that he could get it done. It wasn't a bunch of long balls, but again, he just picked his spots, chose players downfield, dumped off. It was like precision in that game. To me alone, just showed, I was like, yeah, he's a quarterback. He can be a quarterback. Having him be able to run and do all the other stuff is just awesome to have. But honestly, I think you can depend on his arm when you need to. And
you've seen it.
Just make sure you keep Mark Andrews.
I mean, that would be a good thing for them. But no, it's like,
About Mark Andrews, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You got the special, special talent that, I mean, if we're talking about from a talent standpoint, I mean, how many guys in the NFL are comparable to Lamar Jackson? It's a short list. You know, not Russell Wilson, but he's kind of on the downside of his career now. We'll see what he looks like in Broncos Orange. But, yo, like, Lamar Jackson is a special dude. So for him to even be in a situation to where the contracts, the contract negotiations are getting weird, it's crazy to me. So I think they have much bigger problems if they don't get this deal done right now. But for the most part, the Ravens are a team that should compete. You said about 10 games, 10 or 11 games. I think it's fair.
Yeah, you know? I love the fact that the running backs are healthy because they're going to be such a run heavy team. You know, you have the young receiver that you trust and you've got your tight end, but you know, as much as you say it, Rashad, the truth still is that Lamar Jackson is not a great throwing quarterback. He's very inconsistent throwing the football. And that's just the truth. It is who he is. He's gotten better. He has a lot of games where he throws the ball well. Most of the time, he's really inconsistent and can't throw the ball downfield that well. His weakness.
I think there are guys that, you know, that would agree that maybe he's not the most accurate yet, but I think those things can change.
Well, he's
time.
In year five
guess
now,
what?
Though.
Tom Brady, and guess what? By year five, Brady was not an accurate guy. That took some time. It took a long time. He was what they called a game manager for the first three Super Bowls that Tom Brady won. He was what they considered a game manager, somebody to go in there and just try not to make mistakes. It took them from opening up the playbook to say, okay, let's see what this guy can do. So he can still learn. And mind you, he missed five games last year because of injury. So, like, he only played 12 of the 17 games. Like, where would they have been? And I think they made the playoffs last year, right? Did they miss the playoffs? I can't remember.
Ravens missed the playoffs.
Yeah, they missed the playoffs. Last year.
So imagine where they would have been if they actually had their starter for the entire season, which they didn't. So, yes, Lamar Jackson isn't perfect, but again, how many quarterbacks would you realistically take over him right now? There's a few. Yes, you're gonna probably take Aaron Rodgers. You're probably gonna take Brady, but that list gets real short after like Mahomes.
I do believe that they are getting their left tackle back. Correct. Ronnie Stanley. Last year, I think he missed all of last year. He went down with an injury in training camp, so. Lamar's going to get his blind side back. You know, that hopefully will make things better for him as far as being in the pocket and being a better passer this year. I mean, let's face it, too. The Ravens had a ton of injuries last year. Dobbins, I feel like they had three running backs injured before this season even started.
Yeah, no, they lost Dobbins and Edwards immediately.
Yeah.
Both on, like, the first or second day of practice. I can't find any details about Stanley and when he's coming back. I just saw 5 days ago, unsure when he's returning, but expecting for him to be back at some point this year. Yeah. All right, one more team that we got to break for Hater Love It. That's the Bengals. They made the Super Bowl last year, and here they are again. I almost wonder if, because the Bengals were such a surprise last year, that we're going to see a little bit of a dip in how good they are this year. I think we sometimes, when you get surprised by a team being good, you don't always see that team hit that same level of success. But they really didn't change much from their great team. You still have the great young quarterback. You still have Joe Mixon as your running back. You still have Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd as your wide receivers. You did improve. Well, improves maybe a strong word. I think you kept your tight end position solid because you lost Uzoma to the Jets, but you got Hayden Hurst, and he's been good at times. So I still like this Bengals team a lot. They did a lot of things last year going into the year that helped to improve the defense. So I think you probably expect to see that get a little bit better this year as well, or at least continue to improve. They're just a good, solid team. I don't really have a lot of flaws in them. I'm looking through the positions on the depth chart right now, and nothing screams flaw. I know last year the offensive line was the big concern. I think you're going to get a better offensive line there this year with some of the additions, as well as just more experience together. And yeah, I mean, do you pick the Bengals to win the division over the Ravens? I think that's kind of the question we're at now, because I kind of view them as very similarly good teams battling each other at the top of that division. I kind of can see them both going 11, 12 wins, 10 wins, and then, you know, you get the Browns and the Steelers with something around 6-7, you know?
I mean, I think they were able to go as far, especially during the regular season, because the Ravens were banged up, because the Ravens weren't great, and because also Pittsburgh, you know, wasn't great. The Browns were the Browns, you know, and so I think there was an opening there, and they just happened to step up. Because if we're being honest, none of us would have picked them to win that division. The Bengals, right? Like, I mean, I think we all had the Ravens winning this division, and then things just kind of fell apart for the Ravens. But when you look at this, the season that they're due to have in Cincinnati, their schedule is favorable. You know, it looks like a pretty winnable schedule. Now, we don't know what Pittsburgh is going to be. We know T.J. Watt is a beast, but we don't know what their quarterback situation is going to be and how that looks moving forward. There's still a lot of question marks around Dallas and about whether or not they're going to be really ready to compete at the highest level. Then they've got the Jets and the Dolphins. And, you know, you got obviously games against your conference teams like the Ravens. But then after that, you got the Falcons and the Browns and the Panthers. And you've got opportunities to go out there and continue writing your story. And so they're a young team. We weren't expecting them to make it there. Jamar Chase and some other guys. But I think this team is going to be back. But I still think the Ravens are the team of them.
Hey, I got an idea. I know we're up against it. For these divisional previews, hate it or love it, we do win totals.
Okay.
And I have them here for you.
You want to do them now or in hate it or love it?
In hate it or love it.
Oh, okay. Yes. Sure.
In lieu of questions.
Okay. I see what you did there.
Well, I actually had questions ready. But
I know you do, but I see what you did there.
But then I figured
you're playing the long game because we have a lot of these coming.
Yes, and we need to. We usually do win totals, do we not?
I think last year was the first year we did them. Yes.
Yes.
Usually no, but that became a trend. And so we found out that we were all idiots last year.
So get those schedules ready. So we were right on some.
Yeah, like one or two.
That's being right still.
It's pretty low percentage though. Pretty low percentage. All right, let's break. Joe has sports, then hate it or love it. Win total edition on the Fan.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
That music means it's time for Hate It or Love It. We're going to do Win Total Edition. AFC North style as we just wrapped up a quick little preview of that division. So I guess we're not really going to get points in the same way, are we?
Well, convince me why you think the win total is what it should be.
Okie dokie.
So yeah, I'll give you a number, over, under. Hate it, love it.
And prove it.
And tell me why. What is your thesis here, sir? We will start with the division champs, the Cincinnati Bengals. Trying to get back to the Super Bowl. Take care of that cliche that Super Bowl losers can't make it back. But their win total is at 9.5. 9.5. Love it more than 9.5. Hate it lower than 9.5.
Ooh. Well,
I don't know why I went opposite there.
they have a really difficult schedule. Partially, you know, that's sometimes it's schedule luck because you play a specific division, but you also play the teams that finish in the same spot as you in your division. Here is the end of their season. I don't know exactly what week this is. Probably week 12-ish or so. They go at Titans, home versus Chiefs, home versus Browns, at Bucks, at Patriots, home versus Bills, home versus Ravens.
Boy.
That is how they end their season. That is there is no gaps. I didn't skip anybody. That's the end. They also play the Cowboys. They also play the Saints on the road this year. So over 9.5, I'm going to say if we went opposite, hate. I'll say love, that they're going to go over 9.5, but I think it's going to be very close to that 10-11 win mark, and it's going to be very, very difficult to get to that based on that schedule. But they are a very good team, and I do think they'll get plenty of wins padded against some of the easier teams earlier in the year, which should spur them to hit that number.
Which team is this? I'm so sorry.
Bengals.
Oh, yeah. You said over.
Mike, I'll give you a couple points, by the way.
You said over
9.5.
Yeah, I think 9.5. I think 10 is fair. Like, I think we were all talking about the Bengals potentially winning 9 and 10 games. Their schedule is favorable, and again, towards the end of the season, like, you've got a lot of teams at home. which is always a good thing. But then the beginning of the season, there's like maybe four of those first five games that should be in your favor, you know, with the exception of potentially, I think they play Dallas in between there, and I want to say Pittsburgh's first game of the season. Those are winnable games, you know, but so if they can go in there and at least start the season 3 or 4, I think winning six games after that shouldn't be that hard of a stretch. Ja'Marr Chase really established himself, and I'm shocked that he's not considered one of the best receivers in the NFL, considering what he did last year and torched everybody. So I'm fully expecting good things from them. I'm fully expecting that offensive line to be better than it was this year. So, yeah, I think the Bengals winning 10 games is right around where they should be. Not winning the division, but 10 games is going to get them in the playoffs.
All right, and we move on to the Pittsburgh Steelers' first season without Ben Roethlisberger, and sheesh, 18, 19 years, however long. Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season, ever. Does the streak end this year? Their number is 7.5. Hate it? Lower than 7.5? Love it? More than 7.5.
So,
my turn.
Well, no, I don't know. I'm asking a question. Over 500 now is
9-8.
9-8? Okay. Okay.
Love it. They'll win. I think they can win about 8 games this upcoming season. They're still, and mind you, which isn't a winning season, but last year they would have, or 2 years ago, it would have been 8-8, and Mike Tomlin would still have, quote unquote, a winning season. And so I think they're going to struggle a lot. I think not having a trigger man calling your plays could potentially be harmful for you. And then when that trigger man is potentially Mitchell Trubisky, I think things can only get progressively worse for you from there. I don't think I'm not as high on Trubisky as some other people. I understand Chicago isn't a great environment to be in, but so far he hasn't shown us much. So if he happens to be the number one in Pittsburgh, I don't know how well that's going to work out. Losing a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster kind of took away your one threat that you had at the wide receiver position. So you'll see what the two young guys are going to be able to do. But yeah, I think around eight wins is fair for this Pittsburgh team, especially going through such a transition and losing. And I think 8 wins is fair considering you're losing a Hall of Fame quarterback. And so to come in and win at least 8 to 9 games, I think that's a great season for you.
I'm going to go ahead and say hate, and boy, Vegas knows their numbers well, right? That's a really good spot to put the Steelers this year. You mix in the ability of Mike Tomlin to get the most out of teams that aren't necessarily as good and his track record of making the playoffs and having winning seasons, and then you mix that in the bowl with Mitch Trubisky and quarterback who's a rookie and Kenny Pickett who hasn't looked good so far, and I'm just not certain that number is really too far off, but I'm going to go ahead and say hate. I'm going to say under, and it's just going to be under by a half or a win, 6 or 7 wins for them this year. They have a pretty difficult schedule. There's a lot of good and or above average teams on it. Now, they'll win some of those games because they're the Steelers, but because they have Mitch Trubisky or whoever they choose, I think they'll lose a lot of those games as well. So I'll say 8 under 7.5.
Yes, I agree with you guys on the Bengals above 9.5, and I agree with Mike here. I think that the Steelers, it's going to be a tough season.
Eight, nine. That's where they're going to be.
I think you're going to see 3 different quarterbacks play this year.
Yes, probably.
All right, moving on to the Baltimore Ravens. Again, they're hoping to have a bounce-back season, be a little bit more healthy this year. Lamar Jackson definitely looking to have a really good year, obviously being in the final year of his contract. Their number, 9.5.
So same as the Bengals?
Same as the Bengals, yes. Hate it, lower. Love it, higher.
I'll say love on the over on this one. Looking through their schedule, they've got a lot of winnable games this year. They play the Jets. They play the Dolphins. They play the Patriots. They play the Giants. Obviously, they have the Browns twice. They play the Panthers, the Jaguars, the Falcons. They've got a lot of winnable games in that division. And healthy, this Ravens team will also win games against the good teams that they're playing. So based on that, I may even say Ravens love 12, 13 wins this year.
Whoa!
Bengals 10, 11 wins. Steelers 6-7. So love Give me that 12-13, baby.
I'm right there with Lynch. I love it as well. This Ravens team won 8 games last year. Lamar Jackson didn't play for 5 of them. You mentioned all the injuries that the team dealt with last year and just couldn't really, throw a grape into the water last year. It was a really bad season for this team. Yet still, they were still able to muster up 8 wins. You know, that just goes to show how good of a coach John Harbaugh is. You look at the first 3 games of the season for the Ravens, it's Jets, Dolphins, Patriots. I think the Ravens are better teams than all 3 of those teams. So if that's how you start your season, then you have a game against the Bills at home, which could be, it's the Bills, so they could run up the score. But if you got good Lamar Jackson, great Lamar Jackson, that should be a shootout between those two teams. So I think the way they start their season is at least 4-6, because the Bengals could be potentially a tough game for them. The Bills could potentially be a tough game for them. But then you've got Jets, Giants, Patriots, and Dolphins in between there. I think there's an opportunity for them to start the season 4-6 and then go from there. 4-2 and go from there.
All right, and our last one, it is the Cleveland Browns. This one is interesting because they are off the books right now. I could not find them. I could not get a number with the Deshaun Watson situation in limbo, how many games he's going to play. It is undecided. So we went to the Joe Fisher sports book, and we got a number. And we're coming back with 8.5.
That's exactly where I was going to go, Joe.
The Cleveland Browns, 8.5.
If Deshaun Watson plays at all, it's got to be higher. But it can't be as high as the Ravens or the Bengals because, 6-plus weeks without him. I'm going to go with hate on this one, and this is a simple one. I think he gets a bigger suspension. I think the Browns probably finish in last in the division this year, even with the team being good because of that. And I'll say hate. They're going to win 6 games.
I'm going to hate as well. I think they win maybe about 6, possibly 7 games. I think Jacoby Brissett is going to be good enough to not make too many mistakes for you, so he's due for a win or two. But losing a lot of your impact players really hurts. Myles Garrett, unless he's going to score touchdowns on the other side for you, unless you get him to play tight end or something like that, I don't really see what chance they have of really being competitive in this division. Baker Mayfield was not a great quarterback. And I think we can all agree that maybe that Jacoby Brissett isn't as good as him. So you substitute the two, and it's probably not going to equate to very many wins. They've got a tough schedule, so I'm thinking that the Browns win about possibly 7 games. I could also see 6, but 7 is the number I'm going with.
And your winner, Rashad Maximilian Taylor.
Was not expecting that. I'll take it. I'll take it. We're watching.
I may have been distracted by this insane motorcycle race.
Isn't this cool?
TV.
This is the dopest thing I've ever seen.
Days of summer.
The dopest day I've ever. Not the dopest thing I've ever
Look,
seen.
Look, man, can you do this? I would be so scared going that fast, hitting those corners.
They drop down and drag their bodies on the ground, which I have seen before, but I've never really watched like a multiple laps of a race. And these guys have been on each other the entire time, and this is the last lap, and this guy keeps trying to pass him. There was one where he thought he was going to do it, and he had to get off the gas because he was going to crash. That was pretty intense.
Well, hopefully we don't see any crashes. Speaking of crashing, that's exactly what I'm going to do after the show is over. We're going to wrap it up here. Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Weekends were made for sports. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
That glorious music means we're about the end of the show. Man.
We are about 3 minutes away from the end of the show, or 2 minutes.
I am so tired. Like, I don't know. Like, today was just, I woke up this morning and was like, oh my gosh, I am dragging. Like, trying to snap out of it. I only snap out of it once we go on air. It's like, hey guys.
Energy. Hi. Yeah. Hello.
What's up?
My name is Rashad.
What hangover? What do you mean? so it's one of those things. The minute we get here, I think we all kind of go straight into work mode.
Yeah, we get into on-air mode. These Sunday mornings can be very difficult.
They really are.
And it's not ever anything that I'm doing the day before. I am not a party animal. I'm not like getting hangovers or anything. But there's just something about the Saturday day off that you do whatever you do, and then knowing that you should have the next day off in your head, in your mind, should have, where you, most people have the Sunday off. And then you wake up in the morning like, It's a weekend day.
Let me ask you this.
And then you wake up and go, nope, it's not. I have to go in.
I'm a big proponent of a four-day work week. I think we'd all be a much more productive if we only work. Absolutely. If we only worked 4 days a week and then we all always had a three-day weekend. So if your job told you that you can have a three-day weekend, doesn't matter which day you choose, Friday or Monday, which day are you taking off?
I'm taking Monday. Because Mondays suck. So enjoy it off instead. But then I had the thought, does that make your Tuesday Monday?
Pretty much. Tuesday sucks equally as much as Mondays.
I like Tuesdays, actually. I'm a Tuesday fan. Really? But yeah, I don't know why. But yeah, if you take Friday, like Friday is already kind of a chill day. Generally, there's a different vibe. I'd rather go to work on that day than take that day off.
So I read this article. And it was a while ago, so it may be dated now. But they talked about the most productive day of the week as far as work. Do you know what day that is?
The most productive day of the week?
Yes.
Tuesday.
Okay.
Thursday?
It's Monday.
Oh.
Because in most
cases, you got nothing going on.
Well, think about it. Like a lot of us, like by the time we get to Sunday, a lot of us put ourselves in work mode. Right, because we know we have
to
come in.
They call that the Sunday scaries, don't they?
Because you know, on Sunday evening, for me, this happens right around 5 o'clock Sunday. I'm like, okay, I know tomorrow I have to go in, I have to get this done. I have this much paperwork. I'm gonna cut it. So I already know that I'm preparing myself for all the things to do Monday. Friday is probably the least productive day of the week, and so that's why
people leaving early.
Yeah, I'll come to work on Friday. Monday, right. I don't want to go to work after the Super Bowl. Like, that should be a holiday anyway.
So basically, it sounds like if this ever were to come to pass, companies would say take Friday off because that's already least productive.
Yeah, nobody's here.
You come in on Monday.
Boss is probably gone, so yeah, let me.
And then Thursday becomes the least productive day. You know what? Take Thursday and Friday off.
Yeah, no problem.
Wow, we're really slacking on Wednesdays now all of a sudden.
Wednesday is hard. Wednesday's hot.
Hump day no longer.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks so much for listening. You can find this after the show on the Les Schwab Tires podcast on the Odyssey app and on 1080thefan.com. We'll be back next week, 9 to 11, as we will continue our NFL previews and talk about whatever else comes across next week and whatever suits our fancy, like three-day weekends and motorcycle racing.
Fish sticks.
And old tiles in the ceiling. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Have a very good rest of your weekend, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.